Welcome back to Prep Sports Now, episode 3 this week. I'm Case Kiefer with Ray Brewer here for LasVegasSun.com. Great week this last week. I mean, I don't know about you, Ray. I think you're going to agree. It really reminded me of why I love football. I went to Palo Verde, Liberty. Great game, really physical, back and forth, came down to the last quarter. And I know your game with Basic Durango was somewhat similar.
Yeah, usually in the preseason case, we see a lot of blowout cities, a lot of team that does really, really bad playing team that could be really good, and they put up a 50 spot, and they bring in some kid that wears two left cleats and doesn't know how to, you know, put his helmet strap on, and somehow he runs for a touchdown. But not the case this week. You're at the game, the Liberty game against Palo Verde, hard hitting from what I understand. A game that went down to the wire, a game against two elite opponents who are both in part of our top five still. What stands out for you four days after?
So much stand out, just about everything. But even though Liberty lost, I think that a few days after, they might be the biggest standout. This team was even better than I expected. I mean, I know you had been hyping them a lot. I had even been hyping them. I thought they were easily a top five team, but they were great. I mean, really physical. I think Brandon Wright after the game said it's the sorest he's ever been in high school. And just, I mean, these kids are huge. They're playing without Sam Tye, their best player, their big recruit. And they still almost win the game. They lose by a field goal. Really impressed by the Patriots.
That would be my Liberty Patriots, baby. Woo! Now, here from what just talking to you and some other folks who were at the game, it looked like Liberty, you know, still not used to that big game environment. And when you make a few mistakes against the Palo Verde, Palo's going to stomp on you. They're ready to go. They're prepared. And Liberty battled with them blow for blow. Was very aggressive. Held Brandon Wright in check, which isn't easy to do. And it just came down to a few mistakes. And when you make a mistake against a team of Palo Verde's caliber, you're not gonna win. But moving forward, I think both teams we're going to talk about all year, I think they're both going to be in it for the long run. A little worried about Liberty offensively, Case. Did they move the ball with ease, or was it kind of a coin flip?
Well, I thought they moved the ball pretty easily, but they could not throw the ball for anything. I think their sophomore quarterback was 1 for 6. Maybe had 4 yards, 2 interceptions. That's going to be their biggest challenge is moving the ball through the air, because these teams are going to set up to stop. They got two great running backs, Nico Capelli and Ty Bird. But teams, Palo started to do it. They started setting up to shut those guys down, and then what are they going to do after that? That was what Coach Morocco said after the game, is we got to be able to throw better. And that's their biggest challenge going forward. And like you said, another last thought is just – this came down to mistakes. It came down to Palo had a little bit more experience. You know, they actually moved the ball throwing a couple times. They caught Liberty off guard. Jason Prescott is an experienced player, even though not a lot of quarterback. So I really think that the throwing, they've got to improve their pass game, Liberty.
And the thing is the quarterback, a sophomore, that was his first varsity game. So talk about being thrown to the lions right away. Listen, we're still in early September. The loss isn't going to hang, you know, over Liberty for long. Great game to have early, win or lose. It's like that Boise-Virginia Tech game yesterday. Two great teams. It was a dogfight all the way through. I went to kind of the undercard of sorts on Friday, the Basic at Durango game. And Case, I got to give Basic a lot of credit. They appeared to be not as athletic as Durango, and you could probably still make that argument today. But what Basic did real well is they wore Durango out. They were more physical than Durango, and they wanted the game more than Durango. And that's always the wild card when you deal with Basic. You look at their roster and you're like, Jesus, undersized, unathletic, no Division One guys, but you can't factor looking at names and heights and weights, determination. And I think Basic showed a lot of determination in beating Durango. I think Durango might have read too many clippings about themselves and how they were supposed to be an elite team, didn't show up in the second half, and Basic took advantage of it. Basic, every week, dude, goes out with a chip on its shoulder. They are going to prove somebody wrong. They look for somebody who, typically me, but they look for somebody who thinks that they can't win, and they go out and they try to prove them wrong. And, you know, it's actually fun to watch because, you know, these kids are so vested into what they're doing, and it's a true meaning of a team. There's not one superstar. I think they had like 9 kids run the ball against Durango. The kid who scored 3 touchdowns, It was like he didn't play last year. He was their third string running back, and I'd never heard of the kid. Yeah, I had to have him spell his name for me, Benny Gutierrez. So that's what you get from Basic. I don't know, man.
Basic, you're saying you're making it sound like you're more of a believer, but then you went right back this week and picked against him again. I mean, we'll get to that game, but I feel like we argue too much about Basic. I still don't think they're unathletic. I mean, maybe compared to the Gormans and the Palos of the world, but look across the valley. This Basic team is more athletic than most teams around.
Well, okay. Listen, you break the valley. The valley's got 32 teams. Half of those teams we're not going to count. You know, we're not going to count Pahrump and Sierra Vista and Clark and whatever. So the 16 teams are left that are playing big boy football. Of those 16 teams, you know, where does Basic rank in terms of athleticism? Do they have a guy like Brandon Wright? Do they have a guy like Shaq Powell? Do they have anybody on Vegas? Vegas has got like a track team over there, brother. Cameron Rogers, Marquand Major, Pharrell Victor, Hassan Henderson, 9 returning defensive guys. Vegas is awesome, okay? So does Basic – okay, the Devontae Boyd kid, you told me about him. He's a nice player, okay? He definitely doesn't fit the stereotype of a typical Basic football player. The Vince Carducci kid organizes the offense brilliantly. Makes good decisions, could beat you with his feet, and could throw the ball. But do they have a guy who, you know, if you're going to match up Vegas versus Basic, okay, Foothill against Basic,
I think Basic matches up well with him there. You're forgetting to mention your boy Dominic Vilas, who, what is he, 5'7", what do you say?
Dominic Vilas is a good player.
Also, I guess he was hurt again in your game. The game I covered Basic the first week, Lorenzo Sampson, their starting running back, got hurt right away. Did he not play again last week?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. They played a freshman, and then they played my boy Benny Gutierrez.
Well, there
Benito,
you go. Lorenzo
my man.
Sampson, too, when he gets back. I think Basic can match up with almost any team. One thing we can agree on, I think, we've talked about Liberty, we've talked about Basic. How much fun is this Southeast Division race going to be? I mean, you got 5 teams that all have looked impressive so far, with Basic, Liberty, Foothill, Del Sol, Silverado, all look really good. I mean, it looks like Green Valley and Coronado are down, but Green Valley, obviously always competitive there.
On any given day, that league is going to be real fun. I used to cover the Southeast exclusively 10 years ago, and it would be the same story every year, Case. 4 teams would make the playoffs. They would lose all on the first day. We'd call it like Black Friday. That would be our headline every time, because there was no way they could match up with the athleticism of the Northeast, you know, the Vegases of the world. Even like Valley would be the 4 seed, and they would just go in and rock and roll over whoever, no questions asked, you know. But now it's there's more athletes kind of moving toward the Henderson area. The programs are getting a little more established. And what you had 10 years ago is you'd have Foothill opened in 1999, Coronado opened in 2001, Liberty opened in 2003, Del Sol opened in 2004. Well, each time one of those schools opened, it gutted other schools, so the programs couldn't build. Well, here we are, you know, 5-6 years after the last school opened, and folks are getting a chance to develop their programs, get in their system. The coaching is very stable. Marty Redmond's been at Foothill forever. Cahill played at Basic. You know, Preston Goroff, the only coach at Del Sol. Morocco's coached at Liberty forever. Andy Ostolaza is fourth year over at Silverado. So I think there's a lot of consistency now, and it's the elite league in Southern Nevada. We always talk about Palo Verde's league, the black and blue division. Well, that league is down this year. I think besides Palo, Palo's going to have a very easy time winning that league.
Right, one team we've talked a lot about at this podcast so far. Bishop Gorman had the week off. A bunch of the players were at the Palo Verde game. Every time they walked by, 10 to 15 of them, they'd get a boo from the entire crowd. So I kind of enjoyed that. I know you would have too. But anyway, now they get back on track this week. They start playing their Nevada schedule, which is always kind of lopsided, kind of unfair because they just match up so well against all these teams. What are your thoughts on Bishop Gorman starting their league play against Clark?
Well, they open against Clark, who in USA Today was referred to as Clark Middle School. Gorman ranked 21st, I believe, by USA Today, and called Clark Middle School as their next opponent. So the good thing Gorman does is they know if they put up like a – they could go out and put 100 points on Clark. But they know if they go and they put that lopsided number up, that it's going to look awfully bad to everyone. And they do a good job of trying to keep the score, you know, at a respectable level. They do a great job. They got like 60 kids on their roster. They try to get everybody plenty of reps. They you know, they use it as a time to kind of sharpen up some things on offense, and they do put up some big stats. And you know, when we say Shaq Powell rushes for 2,000 yards, you know, he could rush for 1,000 of that against Clark if he wanted. And it's just, you know, you got to give credit to Gorman for holding the score down, because ultimately, you know, obviously every team wants to win. That's why they play the game. But you also play it for fun. It's part of the high school learning experience, and nobody wants to go out and lose 100-0. Nobody. You know, even in fantasy football, bro, I don't want to lose that bet.
Even in fantasy, there you go. Well, we talked about Gorman and Clark. Let's move on to the rest of the schedule this weekend. One of the better games is going to be earlier at 5 o'clock on Saturday. Legacy and Faith Lutheran. These are two teams that figure to be battling for playoff spots in the Northwest. Who do you like in this game?
Well, I like Legacy just because I think they're more athletic and probably a better defensive team than a lot of people give them credit to. Lost 13-12 to Spring Valley 2 weeks ago. Didn't score in the second half, Legacy. And I just think they're a lot better than that score indicates. My man, LJ McMorris, the junior, had two long touchdown runs called back because of penalties. And I just don't know if Faith Lutheran has the athleticism to kind of track McMorris. I know they pitch and catch the ball as good as anybody with Patero and the tight end Luby and Don Pearson at wide receiver. And I know I'm setting myself up for a long night by going to the game because they're going to throw the ball 52 times like they did when they beat Fountain Valley 2 weeks ago. But I just don't see Legacy losing this game. They went undefeated last year and winning the league. They got it. It's not that they lost a lot of kids, you know, virtually all starters, but they have a lot of kids in the program too, and they're not starting over. I think this Legacy team wins.
You heard it here. Faith Lutheran starting to begin to get the basic treatment from Ray Brewer on athletic. But I agree. I think this will be a close game, but I think Legacy pulls it out. A team that is the opposite of unathletic, we've already talked about, Las Vegas High, going on the road again this week to Utah for the second week in a row. They're going to play Mountain Crest. Mountain Crest looks like they're a little bit better than Snow Canyon. Anything to worry about for Vegas?
I really don't think so. I think Vegas is just elite. With the speed they throw out in the field offensively, you know, and this is without my man Pharrell Victor getting enough carries. I still think he needs to get the ball a little more, but they do like this little wide receiver screen thing. And it's like, hey, I'm going to throw the ball to you. You're 4 feet away from me, and you run as fast as you can, and it usually works for like an 80-yard touchdown. It's real fun because you don't know if they're going to do that to the left or to the right when you got Rodgers and Majors out there. If you can't tell I'm a big Vegas fan, I really would like to see them play Gorman. I think it would be closer than people think.
On to a Southwest game, Desert Oasis and Western. Desert Oasis got to be a favorite here.
I would think so. I don't know much about either team, but I do know that Western had to rally to beat Sunrise Mountain, and Sunrise Mountain was playing a JV schedule last year. So Western might be a few years away from competing, which is sad because, you know, Western used to be one of the powers. Give me Desert Oasis.
I don't know why, but Durango, I think, is like basic for you to me. I've picked against them every week, and I'm picking against them again this week. They go to Bonanza. I think I set myself up for this because I was hyping up Bonanza before the season. I can't go against them now. I think Bonanza, hopefully, worked on that defense during their off week. If they can play defense, I know they can put points on Durango, and this is a huge game for Bonanza. They want to set themselves up to be in the playoffs this year. They need to beat Durango.
I just, you know, Bonanza opened with Foothill. They gave up 48 points, only scored 14. How do you give up 48 points? You know, how could you like a team? How could you pick a team that gives up? That's nine touchdowns.
They had to go up against,
is it nine times? What is it, seven touchdowns?
Connor Afoa, Kyle Keplinger, you know, that's a tough team they had to go up against, which Durango is too, but it was a rough opening. You know what? They had a bad dress rehearsal.
Okay, well, here's the deal. Bonanza and Durango, two schools kind of located near each other. Some of the kids do, you know, have a little bit of a rivalry. So you're talking a league game that means something, a rivalry game. That'll cut some points down a little bit. But I think Durango's just going to go out and say, listen, last week against Basic was a little bit of a fluke. We were gassed. And I think they're going to put the pedal to the metal. I think it could get ugly, Case. So I'm not even saying it's going to be close. So I'm picking Durango.
And you could be right. But like I said, I feel like I dug myself in this grave, and I feel like Deshaun Martin can dig me out. Anyway, on to the next game in Pahrump Valley, Sierra Vista and Pahrump Valley. Who do you like?
Well, if Pahrump Valley is going to, you know, pick up that elusive win, they're working on like a 3-year don't even come close to winning streak. It would be against the Sierra Vista team that's just not that good. They were blanked by a Rancho team who's not that good last week. I picked Sierra Vista to win just because Pahrump lost to a 2A Christian school last week. But I think Sierra Vista, I picked Sierra Vista to win, but I wouldn't be shocked if Pahrump did. Too much information on this game, bro.
Yeah, neither of these teams are going to have a great year. I think we both know that, but I like Sierra Vista too. Let's get on to the next game that has two struggling teams trying to build back up their programs, or in one case, build their programs, Sunrise Mountain and Coronado. What about this one?
You know, Coronado lost to El Dorado last week by about 2 touchdowns, but inside the lines on that one, they were at the 5-yard line 3 times and came away with 2 field goals. So I think Coronado is probably a little better than Sunrise Mountain.
This game, for a change, should be a really good game. Should go a lot into developing the early playoff race in the Northwest. Arborview at Centennial. Who do you got?
You're right. That's a real good game. I was real high on Centennial when they put up that lopsided number against Clark, but they struggled against the Palo. I mean, against the Green Valley team last week that Palo absolutely destroyed. So Arborview, they've won big twice. I think they make it 3-0. Give me the Aggies.
I like the Aggies too. I just think that they've got a bunch of young athletes on the program that can make stuff happen. Now on to a part of the show I like. I get to call you out. This is a Watchdog Podcast Journalism. Okay, we have Cimarron at Cheyenne. In this podcast, in this exact room earlier this year, you told me Cheyenne was making the playoffs and Cimarron was not. Then after the first game when we talked on this podcast about Cimarron in Las Vegas, you said Cimarron looked rough. Now I'm looking at your picks this week and you got Cimarron. What is up with that? It goes against everything you've said.
You know, the Gerard Martinez kid, I think, is just a player. I think he's going to be the best player on the field. And I think in the long run it might work out where Cheyenne gets past Cimarron and gets into the playoffs. But, you know, Christian Brown was a beast against Vegas. Cimarron clearly doesn't have enough players, but they put up a good fight against a good Las Vegas High team. It was Martinez's kid's first game since his freshman year. He's now a junior. And I think that, you know, maybe they could do more than the 3 or 4 plays they did against, you know, Vegas. This is Cimarron, and, you know, it's a stretch. Underdogs win sometimes, and this is Gerard Martinez. He's kind of like my Deshaun Martin.
Makes sense. I don't think it's really a stretch. I mean, I think this game kind of could be a coin toss, but I just thought you'd be on Cheyenne. It surprised me. I am on Cheyenne. Really like this team. I think they're going to win the battle in the trenches. I think they're going to run all over Cimarron, but I think it could be close. It could be a touchdown game. On to another Northwest game, Mojave at Palo Verde. You know, Mojave has not had a lot of success the last few years.
Yeah, both these schools' case opened in 1996. Each year they play for, it's called the shirt. It's this big Russell Athletic football jersey that's half Palo jersey and a half Mojave jersey. And the winning school hangs this in its gym. Nevertheless, it's never been in North Las Vegas in Mojave. It's always in Summerlin at Palo Verde. They haven't beat them once. Won't happen again this year. Again, Brandon Wright will play the first quarter, and they'll rock and roll.
I did not know about the shirt. Interesting. Green Valley and Rancho. At Rancho, Green Valley seemingly got better last week. Can they pull off the first victory of the year?
I think they do. What I like about this game is it's two junior-heavy teams, so I think talent-wise they'll be equally matched. I just think Green Valley, Aaron Love, Raccoon Griffith, two great tailbacks, maybe a little too much for Rancho.
Well, we've already touched on this game, but it looks like it's going to be one of the better games of the week. Canyon Springs at Basic. You're going to pick against Basic once again.
Canyon Springs, I saw them live against Del Sol last week. It was Canyon Springs' first game. So you got to give everybody kind of a hall pass on that first game. I think Canyon Springs just has so much speed on the field. Their quarterback really does throw a nice ball. Malik Brown, their tailback, will be the best player out there. And I just think that they'll have too much for Basic. And I like Canyon Springs. And it's not to say that Basic's not going to put up a good fight and that Canyon Springs doesn't have some, you know, deficiencies, and they're real small up front, but I think Basic's kind of small up front too. I just think ultimately in football, speed wins. In any sport, speed wins. Canyon Springs got speed to burn. Basic more athletic than I thought, just not athletic enough. Who'd you pick in this game, Homer?
I picked Basic, of course. I do like Canyon Springs. It surprises me that I think they're going to be 0-2 because they're better than an 0-2 team. But this is a tough schedule, and I think Basic is awfully good. I'm going to be very surprised if Basic loses more than two games in the regular season. I'm saying it right now.
Wow. Okay, because I was sitting here trying to think what Southeast team wasn't going to make the playoffs of the five. And, you know, I can almost guarantee that Foothill, Silverado, and Liberty are going to make it. So that means Del Sol and Basic are going to be the two teams fighting for the last spot. And what's happened like the last three, four times Del Sol's played Basic?
Go ahead.
Del Sol's won.
All right, well, what else has happened the last 2 years? Silverado has missed the playoffs. Why can't that happen this year? Why can't it be the sure things, Basic, Foothill, Liberty?
Well, you know, Silverado has been a major disappointment. I think this year they're really polished on both sides of the ball, though.
There you go. He likes Silverado, so we might as well get into their game. Silverado, El Dorado, 2-1-0 teams. I got to figure you like Silverado by 80 points here, the way you're talking.
It's a long drive for El Dorado to make. Listen, El Dorado's a good story. They got a win after having a bad season last year. I just think, the schedule makers do such a good job trying to get teams together that aren't good in these non-league games to play each other. You know, Shadow Ridge is playing Chaparral, for example. But this Silverado-El Dorado game just blows my mind. I know both teams took like fifth in their leagues last year, so they kind of just mashed them together. But definitely going to be a rough one.
I really like this El Dorado team. I mean, I think that the Northeast is down again, and I think El Dorado could sneak into the playoffs, but not this week. I may not be as in love with Silverado as Brewer, I still think they're a really good team, and I think they win at least by a few touchdowns here. Preston Goroff taking the Del Sol Dragons. Actually, he's not taking them anywhere. They're staying at home. They're going to host Valley. Valley's struggled so far this year. Any reason to be worried for Del Sol?
They haven't, but I think Del Sol needs to really take advantage of this game. They haven't looked like the defending Sunrise champions. They haven't looked like that team that's made the Sunrise championship game in something like the last 4 years. This is definitely the weakest Del Sol team we've seen in recent memory. And Valley's a team that's not going to put up much of a fight. So Del Sol needs to get some confidence. They need to kind of get everything shored up to get ready to go into league play.
Nothing to argue about here. I agree totally. I feel like Del Sol needs to get better every week because we've talked about the Southeast. To be competitive, every week they need to get better. Let's move on. Your team, the Chaparral Cowboys, hosting Shadow Ridge. Shadow Ridge shut out Sierra Vista in the first game. Are they going to shut out the Cowboys?
What a great draw for Shadow Ridge. Sierra Vista and Chaparral are two of the teams who aren't that good in town. Shadow Ridge could win this game easily with their JV team. Chaparral just, you know, giving up 53 points in your opener. It's embarrassing.
A team I think is going to score 53 points again this week, maybe. Foothill going to Desert Pines. Can Desert Pines kind of right the ship here and give Foothill a competitive game?
I think it'll be more competitive than, you know, the 53 to whatever they put on Shap, because Desert Pines does have a decent offensive line and Desert Pines can run the ball a little bit. But I think ultimately Foothill's a sleeping giant. I think Parker Riggin, the quarterback, I might even have said his name wrong. That's how much he's under the radar. Foothill's going to be an elite team.
Last game, I think it's between two good teams. Not saying necessarily it'll be a great game, but I think it's between two really good teams, Spring Valley and Liberty. Who do you like in this one? I got to assume you like the Patriots to bounce back.
I got to like the Patriots. I mean, Spring Valley, if you thought Houdini had some great escape tricks, that's Spring Valley week one against Legacy, the way they pulled out that win. Liberty, home advantage. It's like Spring Valley going to the islands to play. They got no chance, you know. Long road trip.
Yeah, I like Liberty. They're going to have a lot more room to do the Hawk and Ants this week. I mean, at Palo, they seem like really scrunched up. There's Palo band on the field. People are going crazy for Palo's opener. Now they're going to get to spread out for the Hawk and Ants and be really pumped up.
That'll make a difference. By the way, Durango has a Hawk and Ants.
Which I don't understand. I mean, I kind of like Liberty because it's these kids' heritage. They really go all out for it. And then I saw pictures of Durango doing it, and I'm like, what? Maybe that's why I picked against him again, because I don't understand.
Kid named Fuentes was leading the Hawk and Dance.
Yeah, I don't understand. Maybe it's above my head. Anyway, we're going to get out of here. Enjoy the games this week. We'll talk to you next week. Prep Sports Now. Thanks.